This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
If you've ever lived with a dog or cat, you'll know that they have a knack for getting into things they really shouldn't. From chewing toys to swallowing household objects, sometimes it's harmless and sometimes it can be life-threatening. To guide us through what to watch out for and what to do if it happens, we're joined by Nick and Paul from Ready Vet Go. Paul and Nick, welcome back to Joy.
Thank you, Latham. We're glad to be here.
Before we get into today's topic, how's the Ready Vet Go TV show going?
People are really enjoying it. It's sparking a lot of conversation, which is great.
And so I actually haven't seen the show just yet.
Uh-oh.
So what's it like? Like, what's it like being in front of the camera and doing your job like that? Is it difficult? Do you have to do different takes, or is it just completely as it happens?
Well, we had to learn to do makeup. That was one thing.
Oh.
We'd not really done that before, but essentially getting in front of a camera is kind of like being on radio. You just are being yourself, really, at the end of the day.
Yeah. But it what you see is exactly how it unfolded.
Yeah.
There's no takes or anything like that. Yeah. The dog's seizing on the floor. That's happening in the moment. So it was all just, start to finish.
Yeah, I remember. So I used to work with the former chief health officer, Brett Sutton, who used to do a TV show many years ago working, I think, in the emergency room or those medical shows.
Yeah,
I'm not exactly sure what it was like, but all of that's like in real time as well. Like you can't, like someone's got a huge cut that you have to, stop the bleeding. You're not going to go, let's do another take of that. Let's open the wound again.
Start that cardiac arrest again, please.
Wow. So where can we actually see that? Where can we access that TV show?
Yeah, you can check it out on 9now.com, .com.au. And you can also catch it live on Sundays. The schedule is from 2:30 on Sundays.
On 9Go.
Yeah.
Okay, but cool. There's the first 5 episodes out now on the 9 app.
Okay.
9 Now app. So go and binge it because there's only 3 weeks left of the season. So.
Well, I will. I don't have an animal at the moment, so I wasn't really incentivized to watch it. But now I've met you both. Now I will.
Yeah.
And people can put a face to the voice.
Yeah, but everyone loves animals, right? Like they just, you'll love it.
I think if you're a good person, you can empathize, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. If you're watching the show and you don't feel something, you might want to go see.
Putting him right on the surface.
Okay. That might be for the next guest I have who's a clinical psychologist. Go and see them if you don't have that, that affection towards animals.
That's right.
Yeah. It's a good mold.
Well, let's get into today's topic. Pets are curious by nature. What are some of the most common foreign bodies you've seen in dogs and cats?
We've seen quite a few. What's yours, Paul?
Look, I'd say common, it's probably things like bones or toys. Weirdest, I've seen some really interesting things that you might get from adult stores. I've seen children's toys. I've seen a lot. I think anything that a dog could try and swallow, they will.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen metal utensils. You'd be shocked at what we find on an X-ray.
Well, I was thinking back, I used to be a teacher and we had a Labrador at the school and would be notorious for getting into the kids' lunches. But what would happen is it would eat the wrappers of the lunches as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That thing was in and out of the vet all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think people are really surprised at how much, medical complications you can get just from swallowing something like that, a sock, all of the things that you probably wouldn't even think of, which can be life-threatening.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, so the life-threatening aspect, is it because, like, for instance, is it that it's like a plastic that might be sharper in nature and it can, like, rub up against the internal organs and, like, cause internal bleeding? Or is it things like that are, like, could be digested, wouldn't cause that, but it's the poison aspect of it? Like, is it a mix of those things?
It's probably, I think, threefold. So one part of that might be just that object stops the gut and causes a blockage, fluid gets built up, the body's normal metabolism isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
The second part would be the actual puncture of that gut or like a perforation where we get sepsis or infections or things.
Yeah.
And then the third part, is it something that's toxic? Batteries, household chemicals, compost even can be toxic and potentially can cause obstruction.
Mm, I remember like when I was, it was my sister's 30th birthday and I know my mother is listening. So she'll recall this and it's very bad, but people left their drinks just sitting around. I know it's not an object, but left their drinks sitting on the floor and this little
Jack Russell was licking it up, and she looked very ill the next day, the poor thing. You know, just drinking from people's cups. So it's not even just like foreign objects per se, but, you know, be careful what you're leaving around on the floor.
That's right, toxins.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, the episode that we've just aired was a party ribbon.
Oh.
Just a party ribbon. Mm. So, and that's a different type of a foreign body that we talk about, what we call a linear foreign body, something that's long.
Yeah.
That can be really dangerous and cause havoc to the bowel.
We often think about, like, you know, generally people have like dogs and cats that are domesticated, so that's their pets. But have you seen other animals that have ingested, you know, objects as well that you might surprise people to hear?
I think we think about, like, you know, wildlife getting into rubbish, being considerate of what you're leaving out in the streets or what you're tossing out your car window, etc. You know, we've had seagulls who have had pieces of straw or things stuck in their beaks or in their gullet. Birds, occasionally a possum that's got string wrapped on its leg or that sort of thing. Not normally eaten, but
more externally. Put your stuff in the bin.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't leave it lying around. Yeah.
Please.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please leave.
For the pets.
Yeah. It must be agony because they don't have the ability to, like, call for help if they're, like, got something stuck, as you say, on their beak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And now I do have a question. So this is probably the dogs versus cat lovers. You know, are cats different from dogs when it comes to swallowing foreign objects?
Oh, it does vary. Look, the dogs seem to be a little bit more insatiable in terms of what they go for.
Cats are fussy, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah, they can be. But I think one of the differences that maybe people don't think about with cats is the playfulness, which could be a bit of a progression of them getting that in the mouth and swallowing it, particularly if it's a piece of string or something like that they're playing with.
Mm.
It sounds like we're, you know, putting bubble wrap around all of our pets and saying, you know, don't have anything around them. But it's just about being mindful about what is there. You know, are they ripping up a piece of string? Are they, you know, getting it wrapped around their tongue? All of those sorts of things.
Mm. Yeah, and I think it's an individual thing. So, look, if I had to be biased, I'd say dogs are the ones we more often see who eat something silly. And I don't want to be a breedist, but I think that labs, golden retrievers, we might see a few more of those in the hospital. They might be more food motivated.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that kind of comes back to what's the individual pet like?
Yeah.
We've got a cat at home who is extremely food motivated. He's a big garlic bread fan.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're always much more worried about him than the other cat who doesn't care. She doesn't eat weird stuff. Yep. She likes her cat food. She's just easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about my mother's cat at the moment, and he's probably pretty fussy. He wouldn't be tearing things apart and eating weird objects. He likes to vomit a bit here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's usually a furball or something to that effect. Yeah. You know, is that, like, are there cases, like, for instance, like, if they are a furry animal, like, is, you know, their fur a foreign object, or is it because, is that also a problem for animals?
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I think we've had a few massive furballs.
Mm.
Actually, one of our friends ate human hair.
Oh.
And that was another foreign body. So watch out for those balls of hair in the bathroom shower tub.
Yeah.
We don't know how it happened. We think maybe the dog went to a brush, maybe, like, did it take the hair off a brush? Who knows? But we've seen people hair. A lot of cats can get furballs, and often they'll, you know, spit them up and do the deed. But sometimes they move the other way down the track and they get stuck along the way. And then we're in potentially an emergency situation.
Mm.
Yeah. So I think with longer hair cats, making sure you're grooming them and getting them groomed or doing it yourself, regular brushing, so that when they're grooming themselves, they're not just taking all of that in and accumulating in the stomach. Yeah.
That's right.
I'm chatting here with Nick and Paul from Ready Vet Go. You may have seen them on their TV show, and today they're here on Drive talking about the strange and sometimes dangerous things pets swallow. Is there a first step that an owner should take if they think their pet has swallowed something?
Absolutely. I'd say the first thing is call your vet.
Okay.
Just have a good chat. They're probably going to give you the advice to be assessed, to have that pet come into hospital or into the clinic and have an evaluation. But the earlier the intervention, the better.
Okay.
I think sometimes people want to wait and sit on it and just hope that it's going to be okay. Inevitably, it sometimes isn't. And it's a much better thing to treat early, make them, you know, spit it back up, induce them to vomit it up, maybe even go in and scope a problem out if they've eaten an object. Mm-hmm. We have seen the flip side of that where people wait too long and then they're asking for help when they're far progressed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. definitely early intervention. So that's where ReadyVet Go can come in. We can come to the home and help with those sort of vomit inductions if that's what's appropriate. But yeah, making sure that you're intervening as early as possible and looking for those signs. And prevention is always the best, isn't it? So, you know, making sure that when you're going out, just make sure you have a little spot around before you leave, because the signs and symptoms that we see first and foremost can also be gastro. You just never know. So if you're preventing it and clearing your mind of what the potential is, then that's the best route.
Yeah. You mentioned that it could have a similar sign to gastro. Is that one of the early symptoms that you would notice? Like if your dog or your cat or animal, shouldn't be so judgy around which one it might be. It could be a horse.
Rabbits.
It's usually dogs and cats,
rabbits,
isn't it?
Yes, you can think about rabbits too.
Yeah.
Is there, so you've got the signs around what like vomiting, you know, you were saying it could be gastro. Mm. Is there sort of signs between, like, whether it is a difference between gastro and potentially a foreign object? Like, is there something that we should watch out for?
Unfortunately, to start off with, there's not much difference. And, okay. and that's why it's really important. I think, you know, there is a common theme that you hear in the client world where, you know, they're having conversations amongst each other and they're charging so much and they're doing these unnecessary tests. Well, we can't actually ask the pet how they're feeling. And so in order to get to the bottom of it, and if we want to do it quickly before it's an extensive amount of damage, then you do need to go the full throttle. But yeah, that's why it's so hard, because essentially, you know, vomiting, being inappetent, not eating, all of those sorts of things, they are the first sorts of presentations.
Things like diarrhea, you know, the gastro symptoms that Nick has mentioned. We might come in and assess a pet and still have a list of maybe 10 different things that could be wrong. And so often when ReadyVet Co comes out to the house to do those assessments, we might feel comfortable if a pet looks really good. Mm-hmm. And we have that chat about what we can do with that pet. The client sometimes says, let's take it a step at a time. Let's keep them at home. Keep an eye on things. But if they don't get better, then it's a matter of usually some blood work and x-rays or ultrasound to figure out if there's a problem or if we can clear our suspicions and feel good about it.
I'm just thinking, sort of treat the pet like you would a child, like a toddler.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. Those symptoms, if something's not right, get professional help.
Trust your gut.
Trust your gut.
No pun intended.
Exactly.
Paul, Nick, it's been great having you on the show today. Thank you for your sage advice and for coming in.
Cheers.
No worries at all.
That was Nick and Paul from ReadyVet Go. You can catch them at ReadyVet Go TV on 9Go.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.